Blog Talk Radio.
All right. Hello, everyone. It seems my dad didn't get that startup in time, so we'll have it on tomorrow. Welcome to Indie Econ Day 2. We're here to talk about editing, and we have Julie C. Gilbert here with us again. I have another author who hopefully going up. Julianne. Hi.
Hey.
So we're talking about editing today, which is, wow. It's this, you've got your finished story, and it's a mess, and yet it's not going to be ready for the internet. But, so what do you do? You're going to have to edit. And it seems really big, really daunting, but I can tell you, it's doable. So, Julie, can you go over your typical editing processes?
It's changed a little bit over the years. I used to read my stories like 10 times each, and there would still be mistakes in there. So I've done everything from hire people to, I hired people at all different levels. I mean, I've paid an official editor, and then I've also paid, other author friends to do a proofread. There's a little bit of a difference between proofreading and straight-up editing. Proofreading is a little bit easier, and they're not really looking to rip it apart at the content level, whereas an editor is going through it, and usually content editing anyway, they are teaching you how to make the story work better.
Yeah. So what would you say would be your typical process right
now?
Yeah, right now, if editing a book, how would you go about it from the finish time you put the end on your first draft to when it's ready for publication? What's your process?
Usually I wait a couple days and then I'll reread it. So I just finished a story at the end of February, and then I've been doing all this marketing stuff. But my process from here on out is I'm going to read the book a couple times myself, and then I approach some people I've signed up as beta readers. And I think I'm going to move them a little bit closer to the actual launch this time. But I read it a couple times myself, usually once out loud, and that tends to help me pick up a lot of the places where words just don't make sense, or I put two words that are the same in the same sentence or in sentence before it, so variety. And then, ask other people for their opinions. That's what the beta readers stick in. I have a larger list of beta readers for the lay crime novellas because that's a Kindle World story, and that has its own fan base. So the author was kind enough to loan us, essentially, her fans who love reading her stories to this beta reading process to make sure the stories come out the best they can. So that's typically what I go through.
All right. See, my process, again, I let it sit for a while, and then I will usually email my document to my Kindle, and I will read it on my Kindle and make my markups there.
Mm-hmm.
And I never edit my first draft. I try to always rewrite it, even if it's just a retype it where I have it sitting on there by the side, and I retype it as I go.
Mm.
There's someone just called in. Wonder if that's Erica. Let's see. Hello, you are on Indie Econ. Are you All right.
Hello.
Hello, is that Erica?
Hello. Yep.
All right. Hi, I've got Erica
here.
having a little trouble connecting, but I'm here.
Oh, well, you got here faster than I did yesterday. So, we'll call that good. It took me 15 minutes
all
to
right.
get in yesterday. Anyways, Erica is my one of my favorite of my beta readers. And so, anyways, I will always rewrite my first draft, and then my editing process, I will send it to my Kindle once I have the first draft, the second draft. I will send it to my Kindle and mark it up there and play the game of how many notes can I leave myself, and then I will apply those, and I will send out a, hey, who wants to come beta read my thing? And I say, any beta reading style you want, whatever you want to point out, I will take. And she will usually edit for me.
I will usually edit.
Yeah.
My beta reading style is also called editing.
And someday I will edit back for you, and I would have done it for Promises Prayer, but you just took a little of a bad timing for me. I've never hired an official editor. I mean, I'd love to be able to, but I've not ever had the funds to do so. So, Erica, what is your editing process?
My editing process? It's a little different if I'm editing my own work versus someone else's work.
Well, we're talking about our own work right yet first. We'll get to other people's in a moment.
Aspects of it are the same. If when I'm editing my own work, typically I let it sit for the prescribed few months, as we were mentioning. I like to go through it front to back. It helps me stay more organized. So I open it up on the computer, I read through it, I change as I go. And to me, that works. For me, that works well, because then I only have to, if I see an error, I only have to deal with it once. So I'll change whatever grammatical errors or wording or rewrite scenes, so I'll just go through and change it all, and then usually I go through and do it a second time. Depending on how bad it is, I may do it again. And when I'm happy enough with the initial edit, then I like to get other people's opinions and beta readers and see what friends and family think of it.
Yeah, friends and family
are
cool.
Yes, definitely. I also, with Promises Prayer, I used a program on my computer to read the book to me. And I found that really helpful, because then I could hear it as I follow along and edit as I listened. And it kept me going, and it also keeps me from skimming over what I think I wrote, what my eyes see.
Yeah, that is a tricky thing that is more common on, you know, when you're editing on the computer, and that's one reason you're advised to print it out, and that's why I put it on my Kindle, because that screen messes with your eyes.
It does. I need to try your edit from Kindle method. I haven't tried that, but I really like the idea, and saves printing.
Yes, it does. I mean, I've got a Kindle anyways, so I might as well use it.
Exactly.
And if you get it like the Kindle Touch, I think you can get that one on sale for like $50. One time, just never have to print again.
Absolutely.
And you can use it to read too. Yeah, and there's also programs that you can use to help with your editing. I know, I think Hemingway app, no. Anyways, there's various programs. One I'm using is Grammarly. You can find it at grammarly.com. And I currently have a pro version, and I rather like it. I did turn off one of its functions in the middle of doing so at the class, because it's like, this word is often overused, and I'm like, these other words you're suggesting just don't work for the context. I want this word. Go away. But other functions are pretty cool. Alright, we'll tell her, comma splices, commas in the wrong place, and all sorts of stuff. Even its base version is really good. So you edit for other people, Erica. What would you say is like that? How do you like authors to act when you're editing for them?
I could say I like them to make mistakes, because then I have a job. But
yeah,
in general,
oh, yeah.
There's a wide variety of things. I've learned a lot through as I go. When I first started editing for people, I did everything in comments, and that was probably very frustrating, both for me and for the authors, when I send a document back with thousands of comments, and they maybe weren't expecting
that.
Once I learned to use track changes, it was much easier. So
yeah,
personally, I like it when the author gives me manuscript where their plot, they have a good plot going, and maybe they don't need so much of a content edit. I'm more on the line edit and copy edit side. I can give suggestions on content, but that's not my specialty, so I like
yeah,
it when an author has at least somewhat thought through their content and maybe read through it, and it's pretty solid on they know that's what they want their content to look like in general. Specifics, I like helping authors fix, but...
Yeah, the first time I edited for someone else, I didn't even know that the comment function was in there. I would change the color of the text and say, okay, if it's a spelling error, I'm going to use pink, or spelling or grammar error that you need to fix. This girl was really bad at homonyms.
Mm-hmm.
I read her first book, and I contacted her and said, you hand me your next book and let me edit it for you. We had a good relationship before then, so I could do that. But I'm like, you hand me your next book and let me edit for you before it goes on the line. And I taught her a lot about homonyms. Like, she consistently misused then, than. Yeah. She also used the wrong bears. And there were others. So, breaking her of that, it was interesting when I edited the next book for her, just seeing the point where I had given her that then-than advice, because all of a sudden it's like, I'm no longer seeing that mistake.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. But yes, you want your authors to make mistakes, because if there's not a lot of mistakes, you feel like you're not doing your job, or you're missing stuff because you're not seeing stuff. I must be missing something. No, it's just a very clean novel. Why am I here?
I do like clean novels sometimes, and as far as editing goes, because then I can be more specific with word choices and sentence structure, whereas if something, the bigger a mess something is, the less I can fine-tune it. So once everything is, once the major things are cleaned up, you know, you can go to deeper and deeper rounds of editing.
Mm-hmm. As an editor, do you read it twice or just once?
For other people?
Yeah.
That depends on what they need and what they want and what their time schedule is. I like to read things more than once, but I haven't always done that. It just depends on the author and the situation.
Hmm.
Yeah, it depends on the situation. Like, sometimes I know that I will not keep my interest in a novel if I've already read the whole thing, and I will just start making the edits as I go. Sometimes I will read the whole thing out, and then I go in and make all the edits. It's interesting.
Yes, that is. Whenever I beta read or edit, sometimes it's a book I'm very excited to read, and I want to just sit down and read it cover to cover all at once instead of taking longer to edit it or comment or give feedback. But I know that if I read it once, I'm not going to have as keen of eyesight during the edit. So I always make myself wait. If I have it on a mobile device,
I just
tell myself I can't read it until I get to my computer and I can edit.
Yeah.
And that's really helpful in just being more thorough. And also it's motivation to finish the edit and find out what happens.
Yeah. So you said you've hired editors in the past, Julie. What would you say are the merits of doing that?
Well, hiring people, you know, they tend to have practice at it. They're a little bit more in tune with actual mistakes, whereas a beta reader is usually, I mean, they'll catch the obvious stuff, but they tend not to do things like content editing at all. So as with all things, you get what you pay for. So you pay more for an editor, typically you're going to get a more thorough read out of it. You ask somebody out of the kindness of their heart to read it, and you're going to get some of the mistakes, but you may not get everything.
Yeah. That you get a large group of beta readers so that they can't catch most everything.
Yeah, that's typically, I mean, I still have a day job, which is how I can afford some of the editors, but I mean, there are editors that cost thousands of dollars, and the books don't make that much as of right now. So
no, they don't.
There's no way I can justify that in my mind. There are, you know, many more ways that I have listed in my mind to spend that couple thousand dollars. So, yeah, that's why I do turn many times to beta readers, as many as I can gather, you know, Facebook friends or whatnot.
Yeah, I've got a beta reader call because I knew there was a lot of people who wanted, had been asking. So I'm like, I'm going to make you guys hunt for it. And Erica, of course, found it because she really wanted to read the next book.
I did. I volunteered to beta read Lady Dragon and Teledu. It was kind of a... Water Princess, Fire Prince is what I meant. It was kind of a random... Up till that point, I'd only beta read very specific books for very specific people that I knew a lot about the book and I knew a lot about the author, so that was kind of my first leap in, I don't know much about this book, but I'm going to beta read it anyway, and obviously it was a good book, and I also wanted to beta read the sequel and the one after that.
So you're actually alpha reading the one after that at the moment, because you won the contest.
Yes. That is one of the books on my list of, I must not let myself read this until I can sit down and write out feedback. So.
Well, you don't have to do the editing feedback on that one, because that is the first draft and it won't be edited. It will be rewritten. But yeah.
Right. Right. But I'll give you something.
Yeah.
So what was
I
the
like
first? When was the first time you asked for beta readers?
The first time would have been for, I think, my Kingdom for a Quest. I had people. I had had family read Toad's Quest and my Kingdom, and Do You Take This Quest? And I had done a critique swap with the Ankulin. There's like two or three authors that I'd critique swapped with them. One of them was that first author that was with the homonym. And but with it was when I did my Kingdom for a Quest that I finally found out that editors had that beta readers were a thing, and that's what I need to ask for. So I put a call for beta readers. I don't think I did a form that time, or did I? Yes, I did. And I had, like, make sure you have read the first two books, so you have to have your review in here. Because that one's very... So... And then I did Water Princess, Fire Prince, and then Lady Dragon, Hilladew.
How many beta readers do you typically use in a book?
Well, as many as will volunteer. I cut the line off at 3 and 15 on Lady Dragon Tale 2. And with my Kingdom for a Quest, I only had 4, 5 at the most. I don't remember the exact number, but it was 5 at the most. So. And I don't remember what's Water Princess, Fire Prince. I don't think there's a typically in there, but it's been a little bit more each time.
Cool. I need to talk to you about how to get more beta readers.
Well, it's called Write a Really Good Book That Everyone Wants to Read.
Well, the one I'm actually looking for would be a first in series, so not actually much to follow up on.
Well, if you have a small fan base, which is how I got Water Princess Fire Prince so many, is because I had an existing fan base, and then it was also an intriguing title. So people like you and there was another girl, or two or three other girls, were willing to take a chance on it. And then I had the ones who already wanted to read it because they'd been following my blog. I knew that this thing was my baby. It was like imperative that they read it. Anyway, where did I put my list? I just turned away from my list. I had a list. Put myself back on my list. So how do you handle getting your feedback? When you get your beta feedback back, how do you handle it? Julie answers.
Usually just start with thanking the person.
Well, after you thank it, that's a given.
I mean, you go through them and measure out all of their comments. So some people are way more detailed than others. Others will be just, you know, some word choice things, some grammar things. You know, if they're nitpicking on grammar within dialogue, sometimes you just ignore it. It depends on the situation. If, you know, if they're talking about fragments within dialogue or something like that.
Yeah, just ignore. Oh yeah, I had some indignant conversations with some beta readers. You know, in my head, with some of my books, like, that's a fragment. No, it does not need to be grammatically correct.
So you evaluate everything, you know? And
yeah, evaluate everything.
Take what you want out of it.
How about you, Erica?
I typically go through it as soon as I get it and read the comments and read what they have to say, and like you both were saying, evaluate it based on what it's worth. And sometimes a suggestion makes a lot of sense, like, oh, they're right, I didn't think of that, so let me change that. And sometimes it's like, well, they're critiquing that, but I actually wrote it that way for a reason, so I'm just going to ignore it. But at the same time, I'm grateful for their extra opinion on it, and sometimes I think about it, and maybe I might even come back later and change it to what they thought I should write. And sometimes, you know, one of the biggest things that enables me to incorporate feedback is when beta readers explain themselves, when they say, I think you should do this because this, or this section wasn't clear, so maybe you could say it this way. Because then I have a basis by which to evaluate it, and then I can say, oh, that makes sense. I should do that. I want it to be clear. Whereas if they just say, change this word to that word, I don't have anything to evaluate that with, other than for some reason they think that word should be changed. So I go through it, and I also, especially if a beta reader gives me a summary at the end or at the beginning of the entire thing, I tend to take notes on things that should be changed, like make this character more funny or bring up the character in chapter 6 that you haven't mentioned since chapter 2. I just keep a list, and then when I go through and do my own edit, then I can incorporate some of those larger things that are more than just a word change or a sentence change here and there.
When I get serious immediately, but I do not apply anyone's edits until I have anyone's feedback, until I have it all. And then I will combine, if they've sent it to me in a document where they were commenting or track changes on the document, I will combine everyone's document into one document so that I have all of that feedback sitting next to each other. And I find that very helpful because I can instantly see that everyone is making an issue of this one particular sentence doesn't make sense to anyone. So I'm like, okay, that's something I definitely need to fix. Whereas if I'd only seen one, if I'd done it individually, it would have been out of sight, out of mind, and not realized that that is something that everyone is consistently making an issue of. And of course, it is your book, so you aren't obligated to necessarily accept every bit of feedback you have, but it is good to evaluate and take into consideration all the feedback that you get. All right, we've come upon the 30-minute mark, which is when I'm going to open up the floor to call in questions. Our number is 646-668-8648. If anybody would like to call in and ask us any questions you have about editing process or even about our own books, the floor is open. Brain just ran away. Let's call in. Erica, why don't you tell us a bit about your writing? You recently published your book. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. I just published Promises Prayer. It's book one in my series, Truth from Tarna. There will probably, right now I have plans for 6 books in the series. 2 of them have the first draft are written. Book 4 I'm planning to write this year. And the next 2 over the next 2 years. But Promises Prayer, it's a Christian novel set in a fictional world. Promises Prayer specifically is unique in that it's an adventure story that has no violence, no magic, no romance. I got the idea from pondering different theories, and one of the questions that I was trying to address in writing the book was, what would happen if I wrote if I took a stereotypical saving the world story where the hero needs to save the world, and what if I gave it a more of a Christian biblical twist? I also wanted to address the importance of prayer in a believer's life and demonstrate how powerful it was. So, and I also wanted to experiment with creating a new world in my own culture and write a book set in that world. So the combination of all those factors was Promises Prayer.
Yeah, world building's fun.
World building is fun. It's also more work than I might have expected.
Yeah, it can be
work. By the time you get the culture and geography and the economy and social structures. But in Promises Prayer, we have Kaelin, who is a young man, 19 years old, restless and adventurous, and he makes a promise to his dying mother regarding saving the world, because the land of Tarna is basically built on the idea that pleasure is king, pleasure is God, and where the current society is. So he sets out to write that, and so the book follows his adventures, and also Karita, who is the other main character, who is very shy, scared, very introverted. She feels like she has something to offer people, but she's trapped in herself. So it follows both of them as they journey through their struggles and the whole saving the world. So I'm really excited about launching this book.
Yeah. You still need to get me my arc.
I do.
I want to Yeah, I want an arc so that I'm not putting my notes on the other one, because I promised you my notes on that, but I don't want to put the notes on the official official book on Kindle. I want in a version so I can easily send it to you.
Yes, I will get you that. I was going to tell you way back when that you should sign up on the forum, but that slipped my mind in all the busyness. So
I looked at that form and my eyes glazed over, and then I was going to fill it out, and then I got sidetracked. But into econ. And crazy.
Yes, very crazy, I'm sure.
So, what would you recommend for an author, what they're editing for themselves? What would you recommend that they do to in their editing process? What tips do you have for authors doing their own edits?
Probably the most important tip is, if you're doing your own edits, familiarize yourself with what your goal is. If you have your rough draft and you have a vague idea in your head of, oh, I want this to look like a professional book, you need something more specific than that. How are you going to make it better? What are you going to do? So basically what I'm saying is, read a lot and read grammar books. And if you come across something and you don't know, is this correct, is this incorrect, should this be changed, you can always Google it. I do that on occasion. There's still a few sticky grammar rules that can go either way. So it's always helpful to get opinions, and there are some good sources on the internet for any editing questions you have. So you can do a lot with that.
Yeah, you said grammar books. Are there any that you particularly recommend?
There's a few I've read. The Elements of Style is always a good one. There are a few others, but I'm not remembering the names off the top of my head. But The Elements of Style I liked because it's little and it's to the point, and it's also comprehensive, so it's an easy little handbook to use.
Yeah, I know one that really helped me was Grammar Girl's Quick and Dirty Tips to Clean Up Your Grammar. That was that's a pretty good one. Also, my 10th, 11th grade Rod and Steph English curriculum was very heavy on grammar usage, and that was really awesome.
Yes. Yes. I did Rod and Steph as well for several years, and it was very technical, and it could be called boring, but I didn't find it boring, but it was also very helpful. And some of it, I did a lot of different grammar courses in high school and even younger than that. Some, they were all very helpful. Some of them went more overboard than you would need to be a good editor. Like, you don't have to know the names of a tipple phrase, or you don't have to be able to call out, to point out, to name all the parts of speech, or you don't have to be able to diagram a sentence to be a good editor.
I do find it useful. My sister says she can see it when I'm diagramming a sentence in my head, because I will do that. Like, is this sentence actually grammatically correct? And I'll just sit there, draw a diagram in my head that it's just like, yeah.
Yes, I would definitely say it can be helpful.
Yeah, just
it isn't
know.
Essential. You can be a good editor without knowing the technical terms, but the technical terms can also be very helpful. But at the same time, if you're totally lost in all the technical terms, don't get discouraged and think you can't edit, because you can. Because the key to editing is the product. If you know what a good sentence structure looks like and what the wrong way to use a word is or the wrong way to write a sentence is, then you can create a good product.
Trait.
Exactly. Rain and ribbon.
Yeah, I messed up on that one all the time. That's my that one in loose versus loose.
Lose.
I think I've got it climb versus climb down, though. So. I'm always putting ED and that's for climate. And no, it's for the B at the end. But I still consistently get loose and choose and stuff like that mixed around.
And how do you do a lookup on two?
What would you recommend for self-editing?
I still go with the read it aloud method, because when you read it aloud, you can, the mistakes just like jump out in your face. As Erica said, if you have something or somebody reading it to you, that also points out a lot of mistakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I used to, when I had a Kindle that would read, I would do that, but the new Kindles no longer read to you. They took away that really cool function. So,
why'd they do that?
I think it was legal reasons. But they now have a backdoor method that you, if you have one of the new Kindles, you can set up with an external speak, a Bluetooth speaker, and have your book read aloud to you. But it's no longer on the device. It's that's weird. I think it's legal issues, and maybe Audible was kind of upset with it because it was stealing sales or something.
I can see that. But from the other side of it, they also undercut their own sales because they do whisper sync, so I guess they're banking on volume, but a lot of the narrators and authors aren't too pleased with them because, you know, somebody buys the free book and then they can get the audiobook for $1.99 instead of paying $20 or paying Audible for a subscription. So I don't know. Left hand ain't talking to the right hand sometimes with Amazon.
Yeah. But reading aloud, I will always start reading aloud and then just get bored of it, but I try to always read it aloud, or at least mutter it aloud. Once upon a time, so or read it in a British accent. It's always fun to read your book in a different accent. Once upon a time, in a land called Bucania, there lived the Loxley twins, a prince and a princess. Kind of embarrassing, but how much of that I've got memorized. The old version,
well,
before I edit it.
That's probably a good thing.
Yeah, I read it so often, I memorized it. I need to redo my video, my promotion video for Sets of Quest, because I did change the prologue, so I need to update that so I've got new audio on it. The new audio. That's something to discuss tomorrow or next Thursday's promotion stuff. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So, either of you have any programs or stuff that you recommend for use with editing? You know, in the vein of, or websites and stuff, in the vein of like Grammarly?
No, I don't really use them. Probably should, but I don't.
Well, yeah, they're not infallible. I mean, they're machines after all. They don't, but they will help you see errors. They also can break your spell checker on a document. I might have thought that.
I've had spell checker quit on me. It's just, if there's too many mistakes in this document, I'm done.
I have broken spell checker twice, and once was with my, I think because I created the document with this with Grilly on the it just like the spell checker failed to come back when I turned Grammarly off because Grammarly turns off your spell checker when you have it in Word. It also turns off autosave, and it turns off the undo button.
Oh no!
It provides its
one
own
reason.
It provides its
that
own
is one reason I've been turning off Grammarly in my word processor because I do not like not having an undo button.
That is a lovely function. You must have undo.
I rely on it more than I know.
Yeah, your thumb the base of your palm accidentally highlights a whole bunch of text, and you just replace it with the letter J.
Yep. I did something like that when I had Grammarly on.
I might have done that multiple times while doing Set the Quest. Because I rewrote the whole thing with Grammarly turned on because I broke spell checker. So I had no undo button, no autosave. My computer crashed twice, three times in it. And I lost writing all three times.
You're kind of rough on your machines.
Kind of rough on my machines. So. Yeah.
I've been using ProWritingAid.com a little bit for editing.
Or how about if you want to be a beta reader, what would you recommend for doing that? If you want to, like you do, Erica, because you've been a beta reader for multiple authors, how would you go about becoming a beta reader? Recommend that.
The best way is to go where authors are. But for me, I started beta reading because I think I was reading a friend's blog, and that took me to homeschooledauthors.com, and I found J.L. Knight, and I went and looked at her website, and I saw she had...
She already J.L. Knight, or was she Molly Evangeline still at that time?
She was still Molly Evangeline at that time.
Yeah.
Alien Chronicles was not published at that point. But I went to her website and I saw she had her Machillion trilogy. And I saw she had... And there were some reviews. And I was reading some reviews on Amazon. And I thought, these sound like really good books. I wish I could read them. Then I saw on her website she would give a free book for review at that time. I don't know if she still does that or not, but at that time she did. So I filled out her form and requested one, and beta read. Beta reading at that time. It was review reading, but I treated it like beta reading, even though I never beta read, and sent her some feedback as well as posted a review. And then before Resistance, she contacted me and said, I liked your feedback. Would you like to beta read Resistance? And I said, yes.
Yeah. I think she contacted me to ask if I could beta read, but that timing didn't work out well. would have been a for her.
So, a lot of authors, you know, authors are always looking for reviews. So, if it's, I think a lot of times if you want to be a beta reader, find an author who's about to publish a book and say, would you like feedback on your book? Would you like a review on your book? Basically, the key is to offer something of value to the author so that they will send you a free book.
Yeah. If you follow my blog, I set out to fill out forms whenever I'm asking for beta readers, hey, who wants to come read this? And also I feed it to them in part, so they have to send me back feedback so that they can get the next part and figure out what happens.
Which is a very good strategy.
Yes, definitely. If you, with your beta readers, if you get feedback, feed it to them in parts so that they have to get back so they know what happens after the dragon kidnaps the Water Princess and Fire Prince.
So how much do you send them at once?
Well, with the Riskland Legends, the book was already divided into parts. Mm. And each book is already in five parts. So I sent them, you know, part one, which was about 30,000 words. And part two was closer to 20,000 words. So I'd say that 30,000 words is a good length. It's long enough that it's long enough that they have substance to get through, but it's short enough that it doesn't feel overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I would recommend being upfront over how many parts they have to that there will be. So, like, I will say there are five parts you're going to have to get through.
I send Promises Prayer to beta readers in two parts. I just divided it in half. And it was a good point at the story for a division. So, and it was probably about 35,000 words each part.
Mm-hmm. You can also send it to it by the chapter if you're... and also sending it in parts allows you to kind of shorten your editing time, because you can be working on editing the next part to be ready for them while they're reading the previous part. So you don't have to have the whole thing ready to go at once. You can have, right, part one's ready, I'm going to send it to you. But I had beta readers reading part one of Lady Drytella Dew before I had even finished writing part five. Not sure I've been doing that, but that's what I did last with that book. All right, we have 5 minutes left. Can you guys share your links and stuff so that we can listeners can find you?
Sure. My website is my name, Julie C. Gilbert, and it's .com. So nice and easy to remember. On there, I actually offer a free Christian book or a free YA book, depending on what they would like to read more of. So
yeah, Christian mystery or a kind of a science fiction YA.
Yeah.
Science.
Mm-hmm. So they kind of got to choose a path here. But, you know, important announcements always go to both lists, of course. But it's just more what their reading preferences are. If they really want the Christian stuff, then they probably want to hop in on Heartfelt Kisses. So that is, the second one is available to them if they sign up. And the first one is permafree. So they could get books one and two.
Yeah. All right. How about you? And what social medias are you on?
I'm on Twitter. That one, I was with a self-publishing company at the time when they set that up, so it's super boring. It's just Author Gilbert. That's the Twitter one. And then Facebook, it's probably easiest if they just put in the search bar my full name, you know, Julie C. Gilbert, and that would probably get you there easier because it's got a whole bunch of random numbers at the end that they'll probably never remember.
Yes. All right. And you can find the can you find your links to there on your website?
I don't know. That is a good question.
I should
figure that out.
Yeah.
I know I have a bunch of the share things on the emails. I don't know if it's actually in on the actual website, if I could figure that out, because I just started messing around with my Squarespace site. So we'll see.
Erica, where can readers find you?
You can find me at restinglife.com. And I have information on my books and working on putting up more information. And I'm going to have editing link there as well.
Erica, and, do you charge for editing?
What's that?
Do you charge for editing?
I do charge for editing. I've done some free, but I've done some of both. And I'm on social media. You can find me under Erica Matthews. Pinterest, Facebook.
Pinterest, awesome.
All right, 2 minutes left. Nobody called in. Hey, quick, call in before we run out of time. No. And yes, you can find me on my blog, knittedbygodsplan.blogspot.com, or you can find me on my website, which is kendraerdneck.weeb.com, because I'm poor and can't afford getting my own hosting name. It's on my goals, but that's not. Yeah, I'm not quite there yet. And I am on, if you go to my Weebly website, you can find all of my social media links, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Pinterest, all that. So that's awesome. And so, happy editing. So quick, someone give a really quick, all-important editing advice because we've got 1 minute left.
You got to find your own style. It's like with writing. I mean, reading aloud works for me, but if it doesn't work for you, then don't do it. Find something else. You can hire an editor. Hire an editor. If you can't, well,
also,
then ask your friends and hit them up hard.
The goal of editing is to communicate your message in the most clear way possible without any distractions.
Yeah. And I'd say be as thorough as you can, because editing is the difference between making being just another one of those indie authors or you actually succeeding. So this has been Indie Econ, and happy writing.